This is Graham Hooper, author of A Better Way to Live, a collection of 52 short studies on themes from the wonderful books of Proverbs and Psalms found in the Old Testament of the Bible. This recording is one of a series of audio excerpts of the book. My book was published by Acorn Press, now an imprint of Bible Society Australia. It's available in print and in ebook editions through Koorong Books and other suppliers. Special thanks to Dave Wilkinson of Old School Audio for creating this audio recording. I hope you enjoy listening and that you discover, or perhaps rediscover, how God still speaks to us today through these ancient books of the Bible. So let's get into it. Chapter 17, Golden Silence. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. The first recorded teaching of Jesus in Luke's Gospel is in a synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. After Jesus had finished reading and preaching from Isaiah 61, Luke observes, "All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips." It wasn't just the miracles he performed that amazed the people, it was also the wisdom and penetrating insight of his words. But Jesus, in his great wisdom, also knew the value of silence. He knew when there was nothing more to be said. He knew to stay silent when he stood before Pilate, the Roman governor who condemned him to death. The book of Proverbs places a high value on silence at the right time. It helps us understand those situations when silence is the right response. That wise Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes puts it like this: "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be silent and a time to speak." Silence is wise when someone else is speaking. Proverbs tells us that we should listen before we blurt out our own opinions. To answer before listening, it says, that is folly and shame. And fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Proverbs 18:2. Silence is appropriate when we are ignorant of the subject being discussed. We don't have to express an opinion about everything. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues, says Proverbs 17:28. Going into a work meeting once, a colleague advised me, tongue in cheek, "Far better to keep silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt," he said. Sounds to me like a good modern proverb. But I've learnt that not everyone who asks me a question wants to hear my answer. I sometimes need to keep my mouth shut and listen further to understand what lies behind the question before I launch into giving my opinions. Silence is best when we have nothing useful or helpful or kind to add to the conversation, or when our words will simply be adding fuel to the flame. Whoever derides their neighbour has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue, Proverbs 11:12. If we get involved in a robust conversation where we're starting to say things that we will later regret, we become aware of a choice, one that requires us to make a decision in a split second. Do we jump in and inflame a situation? Or do we stay silent, walk away, and go and do and say something more productive? According to Proverbs, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Silence is often the most compassionate response when people are pouring out their grief to us. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Proverbs 25:20. In the story of Job in the Old Testament, his so-called comforters did very little right in helping Job understand the reasons for his suffering. Perhaps the most helpful thing of all was their silent show of support when they first arrived to visit him. As they sat with him on the ground for 7 days and 7 nights, we're told, no one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. An American friend of mine living in Australia went through a nightmare experience with international bureaucracy when she and her husband adopted a baby girl from China. sitting alone in the United States Immigration Office after yet another setback, separated from her husband and children who were back in Australia, she wrote these words on her blog. "I'd like to think this pain has changed me, and I will comfort others differently than I did before. I won't rush friends to the other side of challenging circumstances so quickly with quickly spouted advice. I won't judge someone's spirituality based on how quickly they bounce back. Instead, I'll sit with others in their pain and desperation. I can't say I've always been a safe place for others' pain," she wrote, "but I pray now that by God's grace, I am. In my friend's difficult experience with the bureaucracy and the process of adoption, she learnt a valuable lesson about the value of silence." The New Testament letter of James contains practical wisdom very similar to Proverbs, particularly in this matter of what we say and when and how we say it. "My dear brothers and sisters," he wrote, "take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Back in Proverbs, we learn that remaining silent allows us to stop and engage our brains before we speak. "The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly." Proverbs 15:2. This slowness to speak keeps us from foot-in-mouth disease. It holds us back from unnecessary trouble. "Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity," says Proverbs 21:23, and "those who guard their lips preserve their lives, for those who speak rashly will come to ruin," Proverbs 13:3. Finally, silence is a worthy response. When people have no desire for truth and constructive discussion, but are just playing power games to suit their own agenda. When the Pharisees brought to Jesus a woman caught in the act of adultery, Jesus could see that they were just using the woman for their own ends of trapping him into undermining their law. He could see their hatred for him, and his first response was silence. He said nothing. Instead, he bent down to write in the sand with his finger. We don't have to respond immediately to every question we're asked. We don't have to fit in with the agenda of people who just want to score points or argue about obscure points of faith, rather than seriously open their hearts and minds to God's truth. In those circumstances, there may be nothing we can say that will add value to the situation. Sometimes silence is the wisest response. Sometimes silence is golden. Let me leave you with these two questions. First, how can you best avoid, or help diffuse, situations where an unhelpful argument is a likely outcome? Second, in what circumstances is silence a constructive rather than a negative response? When you know you have to go into a difficult meeting at work, or when an argument breaks out at home, try praying this quick prayer from Psalm 141. "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips."